On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prays to his heavenly Father, asking that those who continue his work in this world will live in unity. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They are yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, you may have noticed that Pastor Lee is not with us today. He is taking a day off, which is much deserved. And so we transition now to the family altar, to this time about thinking about faith and life and faith lived out in your home and in your workplace and in all of those other places that you go. My mind goes to an old country song, the kind of country song where if you really like twang, this was one of your favorites. "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Along with the sunshine, there's going to be a little rain sometimes." If I remember right, that's the chorus. "Along with the sunshine, there's going to be a little rain sometimes." 1 Peter speaks to us this morning about realizing that faithful people run into difficult times. Now, you may have seen Facebook memes, or you may have even had someone say to you when you are having a particularly difficult time, "Well, you've just got to pray harder. Well, you obviously need more faith." Well, I don't think that those kind of words really ring true with Scripture. 1 Peter tells us not to be surprised by fiery ordeals. Not to be surprised when things aren't going just as we would want them to be. When those times of difficulty come, the place to go with humility, 1 Peter says, is to the Lord. To give our anxiety over to God. In other words, what I hear there is to name to God the fiery ordeal that is going on in our midst, whatever that is. Now, here's what you need to know. 1 Peter was written in a time when Christians, believers in the risen Jesus, were being persecuted, some of them all the way to giving their life. To try to say that Christians are not going to have difficulties in life doesn't bear witness and truth to Scripture. We will walk through difficult times, but we are marked with the cross of Christ, sealed by Jesus Christ forever, not just when we're gathered in a sanctuary, but wherever we are. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, long, long ago, I had been asked if I would consider putting my name forward for a new call. At the time, I'd been serving my first call, maybe 3 or 4 years, in the Prairie Lutheran Parish at Ross and Palermo and Knife River. And I loved that call. I loved the people. I loved the ministry. I loved what God was doing in the midst of these people. But I also respect the idea of call. That sometimes, in the midst of a world where everything seems to be humming along just perfectly, God, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, steps in and says, maybe there's something new. And I'll also admit that this new opportunity was intriguing. So I went into a time of discernment, and part of that discernment included a trip to Camp of the Cross. I got to the camp, which is a spiritual home for me. I headed to a secluded cove and went down by the lake shore and just sat and prayed. Lord, what would you have me do? I'm not certain how long I'd been sitting there on the shore. I don't think it was very long, but all of the sudden, and this is going to sound really strange, but all of the sudden, I was no longer sitting on the shore. As a matter of fact, I was about 10 yards away from the shore on the trail back to the camp. I realized that without making a choice, my body decided to get me up and get me moving to send me back to the camp. I'm a doer. Sitting and waiting is not always very easy for me. I had come to the lakeshore for a time of reflection and prayer, but my body said, enough of this stuff. Let's get on with it. Let's do something, anything. Get up, get moving. It was as if I was almost allergic to sitting and waiting. How about you? Are you good at waiting? The disciples in the first reading from Acts this morning shift into a mode of waiting. Now remember, Luke and Acts is a two-book set written by the same author. Luke tells the story from before the birth of Jesus all the way through his birth, his teaching, his ministering, his death, his resurrection. Acts picks up the story right before the ascension of Jesus, which we hear this morning, his departure, and then goes on with the gifting of the Holy Spirit and follows through as the early disciples take the word from Jerusalem out into the larger world. And waiting is a theme that is woven through Luke and Acts. The idea of waiting upon God to do something. Come with me all the way back to the beginning of Luke, where Mary, young Mary, encounters an angel who says to her, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. And by the way, the child that you are going to bear is God's child, Son of God. And Mary pondered these things and had to wait 9 months for a child to be born. After the child is born, 7 days later, as is called for, Mary and Joseph went to the temple for her to go through the ritual purification that faithful Jewish women do after giving birth. At the same time, Jesus, as the firstborn male of these two, there had to be a special sacrifice and prayer that would happen. And as they come into the temple, they run into an old man by the name of Simeon, who upon seeing the child says, "Oh Lord, my eyes have finally seen your son, the promised one. I can depart in peace now." Simeon had been waiting. We don't know how long, but he had been waiting and waiting and waiting for his eyes to be able to see the promised one of the Lord. As we get into the Gospel of Luke later on, all of the sudden we are with Jesus and the disciples outside that same temple. And the disciples are awestruck by the majesty and the beauty of the temple. "Look at the size of it," they say. And Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left upon another." "When will this be, Lord? Tell us," they say. Jesus says, "Wait. Just wait. The time is not for you to know." Waiting is a part of life. And for us, in the year 2020, we wait. We wait for worship to resume face to face. We wait for Holy Communion. There are families who are associated with Trinity who are waiting for baptisms to take place. Others are waiting to become part of this congregation by joining us as members. We're waiting. We're becoming experts at it. Friday was the last day of school. There was probably some celebrating that was going on. And at the same time, those who are graduating and are heading off to college are waiting to hear what it's going to be like on college campuses this fall. And while minds of young people haven't turned to it yet, I would guess that teachers are also waiting to hear what the classrooms here across North Dakota in elementary and high schools are going to be like. Some who have graduated are waiting, wondering, are there going to be jobs? When will interviewing start again? When will there be hiring? In our reading from Acts, this first chapter in Acts, the disciples spend some time waiting. We open up as they gather with Jesus. They have a conversation about when he will restore the kingdom. And Jesus says, "Well, that time is not for you to know." And then as they're watching, all of the sudden he ascends from their midst. They stand looking into heaven for a moment, and then they head back to the room where they have gathered for weeks now, the upper room. The same room where they were gathered before on the eve of Jesus' resurrection, when he first appeared to them, where it says the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Now they go back to that room. And the writer of Acts tells us they pray. They pray. They spent time behind closed doors praying and waiting because Jesus has promised that the gift of the Holy Spirit will come on them. So what are you waiting for? What is it that you are looking for? I invite you to do just as the disciples did as they waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They spent time entering into prayer, looking for what God might have for them next. So sometimes praying is just a process of asking, telling God what is on our heart and what it is that we need. This week I received a text from a colleague, a friend. "Please pray. You've done it for us before. Please pray. My spouse is in surgery right now, a blocked artery that became complicated. Doctors say there's no reason that my spouse is still alive. Please pray. Sometimes prayer is about asking for guidance so that we might receive help. Outside the church one morning this week, I met a man. He, his wife, and his daughter had just landed in Bismarck. They came from another state because work had dried up. They came ready to work. They had a nest egg to get them here and get set up. And on the way, their vehicle died. And the wife ended up in the hospital. And their nest egg got eaten up. But there was a tax refund on the way. It would land in their bank account any day. They had another day or two in a hotel, but could we help them with some food? And of course, we together did. We, the body of Christ, which is Trinity and its associated members, were able to provide them with a gift card for groceries to see them through for a couple of days. And this gentleman looked at me and said, God always shows up. God is always faithful. Sometimes God might not show up as quickly as we want, but God's time is God's time. And God will show up. A strong word of witness from this one. And sometimes we pray when we don't even know why we're praying. We are just moved to this sense. Another call this week from a colleague. We talked about a number of things that are happening in the church and what we're planning forward. And then he said to me, you know, something really strange happened, Mark. In the middle of the night, twice, I woke up and what I heard was pray for your parents. And so I did. I had no idea why, but I prayed for my parents. And in the morning when I woke up, my brother called me. Mom has tested positive for COVID. And so we continue to pray. She's asymptomatic at this point, and we continue to pray. Prayer is often, though, more than asking. Oftentimes it's thanking. I woke up in the middle of the night. I heard rain pounding on the roof. Is that music or what? And I prayed, thank you, God. It is beautiful music. It is a gift to have our eyes open to all that God provides, looking around for gift after gift after gift. And maybe that is part of what we can take away from this COVID, this thing that for some of us has forced us to step back and slow down and reorganize our lives, and maybe there's a bit more time to just be able to sit and think and thank. And on the other hand, prayer can be a time for relishing God. I'd never really thought of that before until this week. I listened to an app called Pray As You Go. It's put out by a Jesuit community in England, so just the fact that you get to listen to British voices is a gift of God. But this time to sit and listen to Scripture and then have these wonderful questions put before you to ponder for 10 to 12 minutes. And this week, at one point, they said, sometimes to have the ability to sit and say, I have enough. I have the Lord. Take some time to sit and enjoy and relish God's presence. And in the silence, with a few birds chirping, I sat on my deck, relishing. Well, there's no question. Waiting can be extremely difficult. But to wait, To wait upon the Lord with a posture of prayer is not doing nothing. It is listening. It is preparing. It is being in relationship to the God who speaks yet today. It is a posture of listening on behalf of others as we wait. Just wait. Because action and movement will come soon enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.